Everything starts with getting the right people on your bus. You absolutely need to hire the right people. Everything starts with that.
This is so important because if you have the wrong people around you, you're not going to attract rock stars. You're going to wonder, why do these great candidates keep passing up positions at my organization to go somewhere else? Hey, welcome to the Next Peak podcast, where we help you redefine success and achieve goals that are actually important to you based on research and real life stories. I am your co-host, Clint Herndon, and I am back in the saddle with my buddy, Dr. Parker Houston. I feel like I have been saved from Gilligan's Island. I have been in tax season, and it has been a brutal one. And my good friend here has been covering interviews, hosting some great content for all you listeners out there. And I'm just blessed to be back here recording. So how are you this morning, Dr. Houston?
I'm doing great. And it's good to, I told you yesterday or whenever it was that I first saw you after you came out of hiding for 3 months, it's good to see you again, my friend. And yeah, I told everyone that you've been buried in embroiled in a heavy tax season. And yeah, we'll see how you do on your first podcast after 3 months, shaking all the rust off.
I am probably going to be a little rusty, but this topic is absolutely important. And I've learned that through a tough tax season because I'm going to have to hire more people. But what we're going to be talking about today is getting the right people on your bus, making sure that your hiring process is dialed in, and that you bring the right people into your organization. I have a great team over here at Next Peak CPA, but I'm always looking to add more. And this is such a relevant topic because as I learned, I've got to do less work and I've got to hire people. So I'll let you dive in. You're the one who scripted this. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so I am so passionate about this topic. This is something, if you're listening and you do any hiring at all for your own business, you absolutely have to know this or your chances of success are low. The second part of it is if you are trying to get hired or want to get hired by somebody that knows this stuff, you also need to listen to today's episode and need today's episode. So what we're going to be talking about, here's today's big idea right up front. Research shows that there is absolutely nothing more vital to building a high-performance team than getting the right people on your bus. We're going to talk a little bit about getting people off your bus too, but hiring process is absolutely vital. It will be so difficult to run a great team and a great business without good hiring practices. So let me start with like a personal illustration. I have been managing teams now for about 12 years. I've managed 10 different teams. I moved around a lot early on, and I've probably hired, I would say, about 70 people, and I've interviewed hundreds of people. I volunteered for every hiring panel I could because I really enjoyed the hiring process and wanted to learn more about how do you hire wonderful people and build a great team. And in addition to that, folks know that I'm board certified in organizational and business consulting psychology, and I also am a total research geek. So I love reading all the Harvard Business Review articles about getting the right people on your bus. Having said that, I have personally been part of painful termination processes and very long, drawn out, difficult offboarding processes that cost a leader so much time. Anybody that has been through this as a manager or a leader of their business knows that it is extremely time consuming, and it can be extremely frustrating for you and the team member that you're offboarding. Now, the organizations I've been part of have had very structured systems where you have to be extremely clear, give people opportunities to improve. All that's really good, but it does mean that it can take a very long time to kind of get people off the bus. So the point that we shared is that you really need to focus on your hiring processes. So let's switch and talk for a second about Jim Collins. It's been longer than that. A little while ago, Jim Collins, he's a research guy. He wrote a landmark book called Good to Great. I would tell people that this is, if you're starting or running your own business or a team, this is probably the number one book in business you need to read. Number one, without a doubt in my mind, there's lots of people that would agree with me on that. And chapter one is everything starts with getting the right people on your bus. It's called First Who, Then What. So get the right people first. He did research over like 30 years and 28 highly successful companies that outperformed all the other companies. And what he came up with was this idea that you absolutely need to hire the right people. Everything starts with that. So I think I'm being very clear on that. Definitely recommend that book. So let me read a quick quote from what he says in all of his learning. By the way, he's since written several other New York Times bestsellers, famous business books. He says, if you have the right people on your bus, the problem of how to motivate people largely goes away. The right people do not need to be tightly managed or fired up. They will be self-motivated by the inner drive to produce the best results and to be part of creating something great. If you have the wrong people, it does not matter whether you discover the right direction. You still will not have a great company. Great vision without great people is irrelevant. Irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Clint, what are your reactions to this as a business leader?
Yeah, no, this is spot on. I've worked for a few agencies. Some of them were rather large. And I was in a position to, I wasn't hiring initial people, but I was helping to promote people into a position. That was my position as a supervisor at that agency. And it just struck me how milquetoast a lot of the employees were that we interviewed. And these people were going to be moving into a position of training. And so they're coming in kind of like stick in the mud, kind of grumpy. You know, they have this reputation of being cantankerous, and then they're going to be training our new people. And I'm thinking, if I'm a new person walking in the door, I'm fired up. I'm super excited. I either left my old job to come here, or this is my first job right out of school. I'm so excited. Somebody took a chance on me. I can't wait. It seems like a great place to work. And then the very first person you're going to encounter is this, you know, person who doesn't want to grow. They're grumpy. They want to complain about everything that the agency is doing. And so I screened a lot of those people out in the interview process, but that was the, you know, kind of that mindset shift where I actually got to see this in motion, because I'm thinking, if I'm going to attract superstars, or if we want to attract superstars to our group, we don't just want people filling seats. We actually want super productive, enjoyable people that we actually want to work with. We can't have people that are training them being, you know, grumpy and the least desirable people in our organization. We need the people who actually are building us up and making this place better and making it really welcoming for people to come in. And it was a big challenge. I mean, we had to weed through quite a few people because that just wasn't the way things had been done before I took that seat. And I'm not saying I did it great or that I did it well. It just started to open my eyes to, wow, this is so important, because if you have the wrong people around you, you're not going to attract rock stars. You're going to wonder, why do these great candidates keep passing up positions at my organization to go somewhere else?
And if you're a leader, you need to be spending most of your time doing the things that you do best, right? This is classic kind of business advice for high-level leaders. You need to be focusing on new strategies, vision for the team, doing the, you know, mentoring future successful leaders so that you're doing good succession planning, looking at the future to see if you need to change the strategy of your company, being very efficient with your time. And it's so hard to be efficient with your time if you're having to have difficult, painful conversations or retraining someone or telling someone, hey, you really need to step up, and having to spend excessive amounts of time with them, or in worst case scenarios, a lot of the research shows you're dealing with turnover, you're dealing with absences, you're having to hire more because you're constantly hiring bad people, you're scaring good people away, as you pointed out. Or the worst case scenario is you're being subjected to, you know, either like workers' comp claims or even lawsuits where people are so stressed and you're frustrated with them, they're frustrated with you as their employer. And now you're embroiled in things like lawsuits. The time that all that stuff takes is so far beyond going slow with a good hiring process. It is just the amount of time a bad hire can take is enormous.
Yeah. And as a business owner, I can tell you part of the reason that I hire, I mean, obviously, I think any agency does, but the reason that I hire is because I'm trying to scale. I'm trying to take work off of my plate that I just have too much. I need to hire people to do it, right? So if I make a bad hire, I'm putting somebody in a seat and then I'm going to spend twice as much time watching them, managing them, as if I had just done the work myself. So I defeated the purpose of making a hire. And I'm not perfect at this. At my last CPA firm, I was put in charge of hiring and we hired maybe three people during that time. We had to fire two of them. So my track record was not great. But the important thing is I started learning lessons in that, you know, asking the right questions, paying attention to the answers. Instead of selling our firm to the potential candidate, I needed to do a better job of hearing what they were saying. Because what happened was they got in, and again, just like I just said, I spent more time supervising them, making sure they showed up for work, making sure that they did what they were supposed to do, than if I had just done the work myself. We could have saved a ton of time if I just didn't have them there. And yet we were paying them a pretty good salary to sit in a chair and do absolutely nothing, or, you know, to go home when they weren't supposed to go home. It was just an awful, awful process. And of course, I had to let them go, which wasn't fun for anybody. So it is absolutely crucial to take that time. And I think that's what you're going to dive into now, is just how important it is to hire the right people and take your time in that process to find the right people.
Yeah. So let's drill down and talk about the benefits of having the right people on your bus. We've talked a lot about the cost, but the benefits are, you mentioned this one already, a great team naturally attracts other superstars. Mm-hmm. So the best way, a lot of articles share about like the best way to hire people is not posting an ad on the internet and hiring someone. But if someone on your team is a total rock star, they're going to find other rock stars to work on your team. And they're going to talk about how amazing it is to work at your company. That's the best marketing you can possibly do, is a great team.
Yeah. If you look at a sports analogy, which I know is your favorite when I make sports analogies, if you look at NBA basketball as a perfect example, you've got these superstars that will, you know, gang up and get on a team together and to go win a championship, right? They don't go to a team that has a bunch of duds, a bunch of grumpy guys that are getting arrested off the court, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're looking around and going, okay, who would I enjoy playing with? And who is a great player that's going to take me to the next level to win a championship? And that's why you had the super team in Miami with Bosch and Wade and LeBron James. You had the Warriors.
And Joe Montana.
Yeah. Yeah. Close second there. Oh, my friend. Someday I'm going to get you educated on sports for sure.
Not going to happen.
But yeah, you have these super teams and that's exactly what they do. They attract better players. You know, even the role players want to come play around great players. Like if they're, you know, a sixth or seventh man bench player, they're looking around going, where can I fill a role? Well, I could go back up a guy who's not very good, who shoots the ball way too much, or I can go back up a future Hall of Famer who's going to help me win an NBA championship.
Absolutely.
And it absolutely translates into the workforce too. Who do you want to be around? Do you want to be around incredible, hardworking people? Or do you want to be around somebody that's on the fringe and if they did something wrong, their supervisor couldn't wait to fire them?
Yep. Yeah. So the other benefits of having great people on your team is you can easily kind of change direction because people want to go with the direction of their team. If they don't like their coworkers, they're going to be resistant to changing or taking on additional duties or helping their other team members. you don't have to motivate people. So you can put more time and energy into the things that are fulfilling for you. You really don't want to have to motivate people. The other thing is good succession planning is important, and being able to pitch and delegate some important stuff to top talent team members becomes a lot easier to pick a successor in your business or somebody to take over some of your duties when you've got really talented people. And that's extremely important for the future of your company or the future of your organization. We talked about this idea that a great team is a super powerful recruiting and retention and morale. And I would add engagement. That's a key word in the organizational world when people are just fully engaged in their jobs. And then turnover is one of the highest expenses. It costs between, I read a Forbes article recently, I think it costs between 50% and 200% of the person's annual salary to rehire them. And if, of course, if they're a higher level leader, it's more like the 200%. So talented people want to work around other talented people.
Yeah, absolutely. And turnover is a huge one. I worked in a telecommunications company, and it was tough to attract good talent because we were competing with, you know, AT&T and Comcast and all the other ones that probably paid a little bit better at some point. But we made it a point to really invest in our people. We had a great training program. We brought them into the culture. You know, I think that's another key word in an organization is what culture are you building? We brought them in and got them excited about their job, because what we figured out is it was so expensive. I was an analyst. I wasn't a sales guy, but it was my job to figure out how we were bleeding money in the sales division. And a lot of it was every time we lost somebody, you know, our production dropped significantly. And then we'd hire somebody and that person's productivity wouldn't be high right out of the gate. They needed to be trained. So we would lose anywhere from 3 to 6 months of productivity before that the light bulb finally went on the new hire. And they're going, okay, now I understand what I'm actually supposed to be doing in this job. And so if your sales team is turning over regularly, or in my case, as an accountant, if I'm having turnover in my office, I've got to retrain somebody, not necessarily on accounting, but the way we do things in our office, our processes, you know, how we treat our clients, all that kind of stuff. And that can set me back significantly.
Yeah. So people are wondering, I'm sure at this point, so how do I actually hire better people? Like, what is the process? What tips do you guys have? And who do I look for? Like, what are the traits of the best employees? We're going to make that clear for you guys and hopefully give you some good guidelines that you can use in your hiring process. So Dave Ramsey has a hilarious, I don't know if you can still find it. It was on Facebook. It was called Donkeys and Thoroughbreds. And he starts that talk off by saying, whatever your hiring process is, quadruple it. And so people are thinking, what? I'm going to spend that much time onboarding and interviewing and getting to know people. But the truth of the matter is, amazing companies are not in this desperate, urgent position of having to just get people on immediately and get anyone into the seat. That desperation is not a good sign if you're looking for a top company to work in. You want the people that start a long dialogue with you, get to know you over a period of months or even years for an amazing job. And so in this video that is very funny, but it may rub some of you the wrong way, Dave Ramsey goes on kind of a classic rant of his where he talks about the fact that if you let too many donkeys into the barn, or even one really, then all the thoroughbreds are going to break out of the barn and go running for the hills. And so you get the metaphor there. You can either take your time hiring up front and go really, really slow, or you can take your time on the back end with stuff that we talked about, like dealing with a lawsuit or a painful termination or somebody you're having to retrain and retrain or have difficult conversations with on an ongoing basis. So the moral of the story here is better to take your time up front and be slow, methodical, careful, and really look for ways to slow your hiring process down. Patrick Lencioni also has an incredible book I want to mention called The Ideal Team Player. He looked at like 25 years of his experience and what he learned from consulting with companies. was you want to look for three qualities in the team members that you're looking for. And that is people that are humble, hungry, and people smart. So let me unpack that really quickly. If they're not humble, you can't teach them anything. So that doesn't really work out too well. Have you ever had that experience, Clint, with someone that you can't teach?
Oh, yeah. I've definitely had some employees. Well, I was a trainer. So some of the people that we hired at an agency I won't name came in and they already knew everything there was to know about police work, dealing with the public, how to write reports. They already knew all that stuff, according to them. And they weren't going to have some, you know, person with less experience in the job teaching them those things. And I would say that that did not go well for anybody, because eventually they went on to be on their own and they saw that they weren't doing things right.
Yeah. And I help manage a team right now of about, you know, it fluctuates a little bit, but maybe 80 or so people across the state. And some of our most experienced people are not our best people. And a lot of the research reflects that, that as you spend time in a field, some of the people that are veterans and have been around a long time, they're not learning, they're not innovating, they're not doing new things, they're not open to any feedback. They think they know everything about the field. And so they're actually, they've stunted their own learning process. And so some of these folks are very, very, very difficult to give feedback to. So you want to look for people that are humble. Number two is you want to look for people that are hungry. We already talked about the problem of trying to motivate someone. You want people that come with their own batteries included, and they are self-motivated, intrinsically motivated to do the work. They're passionate about the mission of the company. You don't want to have to spend your time trying to motivate someone.
Now, you look at a company like Chick-fil-A. I don't know how much research you've done on that, but I actually listened to some great interviews from leadership at Chick-fil-A, and their target is young people. They want to bring in young teenagers, you know, late teenagers and early 20s kids, and they want to help develop them into being professionals and to launch them into their career. But they will not hire people that just want a job. They won't hire the 18-year-old that's just like, well, I need a job to put gas in my car. If you go into Chick-fil-A, you can see the difference, because these kids are fired up, they're friendly, they have a big smile on their face, they're bouncing all over the place, they're looking for ways to help their teammates out. That doesn't come from training. That comes intrinsically.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I drove by Chick-fil-A Folsom. We went there last night, and actually we couldn't stop because we didn't have enough time, because the line was too long. We looked over, there's 40 cars, double lines, you know, several attendants taking orders at the windows of the cars. You look next door at Del Taco, not to knock them, but there's one car, one versus 40. So you can tell that their business model for that is working really well.
Absolutely.
The last thing I want to mention about your ideal team player is people smart. So there's kind of two problems that we generally have with an employee. It's either a problem in competence and like skill level, or it's an interpersonal problem, meaning that they have kind of a personality issue. You want people that are people smart, that get along with their team members. If they don't play nice with others, you're not going to team if they're constantly fighting and bickering with their team members. It's going to be a problem. So that is something that you definitely need to look for, is people that do a really great job getting along. They love the mission of the team. They're willing to put their needs second to the needs of the team. So that's the other quality that you really want to look for.
And what can we do as organizational leaders? What can we do to improve our hiring process?
Yeah. So I would say one other really important point on that is don't delegate the hiring process. Like if you're a business leader, that should be one of the top things that you do not delegate out. You need to be very involved in the new people that you're bringing on, or you need to have trained and spent a lot of time explaining your hiring philosophy and all the things we're talking about to somebody that is an amazing hirer for your company. But you still need to be involved. You still need to be the final signature on hiring the person and understanding a lot about them. There is a wonderful resource from Notre Dame. They did a lot of research on interview questions. And you can find this online just by Googling it. It's called Behavioral Interviewing Tactics. And it's based on something that I learned in graduate school, which says that when it comes to human behavior in general, history is the biggest predictor of the future. Like, if you want to know what somebody is going to do, look at what they have done in the past. The odds of them just making this radical transformation and doing something totally different, that's the exception, not the rule. People generally do the things that they've been doing because, as we've talked about, with the power of the habits that we have is so strong and so ingrained. So in general, people believe, there's a lot of hiring experts that say, like, people develop a predictable pattern of workplace behavior, like how they are on a job, pretty early on. So if you know about that, you need to be asking questions about what they've done, not what they would do for your company. So that's one big mistake that people make, is they say, how would you handle XYZ situation in my company, or what would you do? Well, people are gonna blow rainbows up your bum, and they're gonna talk about all these wonderful things that they're gonna do and how great they are. You want them to talk about things that they've already done in the past, because it's harder to fabricate a memory. People can make it up, but if you get to know somebody really, really well, hopefully they're not just flat out lying to you in an interview.
Yeah, so, one of the things that's important in that is, I went through Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Conference maybe 2 years ago, because I knew I was going to be growing and really wanted to invest in my company. And they had this whole section on hiring. And what I loved about it was they don't do like a two-step process. You know, most of us, we hear about like the initial screening interview, and then there's the second interview with the boss, and then you get your offer letter. Their process can take anywhere from 3 to 6 months, and it's several interviews. It's sitting down for lunch. They have a what they call a spousal interview, where the leader in that group will go out with their spouse, and then they'll take the interviewee or the candidate out for dinner. And if they're married, they bring their spouse. And what they'll notice is that, like you're saying, it's very easy to tell you a story about what I'm going to do. Or it's even, maybe for some people, it's easy to make up stories about what I've done in the past. But it's hard to repeat that over and over and over again and to be the same authentic person in every interview. And that's how they weed a lot of people out, is they start to pick up irregularities in their interview process. And they go, well, wait, you told this person this story, and now you're telling me a different version of that story. Which one is the actual story? But I think that's a key in finding the right people.
Yeah, and that you bring up a good point. Some hiring experts would say, take people to really unusual things, like a soccer practice with your potential new hires. Take them to soccer practice with your kids. You know, go out to lunch and order them the wrong food and see how they react. Like, that's Patrick Lencioni talks about that as kind of a funny thing. And I think it's interesting to think about that. The other thing is that you may want it to like travel with them, like see how they are in the car if you drive somewhere or fly somewhere with them for a while. And they have to let their guard down at some point, so they're not just trying to impress you. So take your time getting to know people. Behavioral interviewing questions, let me give a couple examples. They might be things like, tell me about a conflict you had with a peer on the team and how you navigated your way through that. You'll get some really interesting tidbits about how they manage conflict and what they said, or if they're arrogant, or if they have anger problems. You might want to say, tell us about the most difficult project you ever had and what made it difficult and what you learned from it. You'll get stuff like that about people's past. And you can Google behavioral interviewing questions and the Notre Dame stuff. They came up with evidence-based questions that you can use. There's like 100 of them, and you can kind of tweak them to fit the needs of your company. So I highly recommend those.
You told me one right before we went on recording that I thought was probably one of the best behavioral questions I've ever heard. Can you share that?
Yeah. So it's mostly behavioral. It is my favorite interview question. I always ask it. It's, tell us what your current boss would say it's like to work with you. And you get some really interesting, you either get people that are squirming in their chair thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to tell them how my boss is currently trying to fire me, or how many times I've been disciplined? Or you get a really genuine, relaxed response with people that have a great relationship with their boss, or you get something in between. But it, usually based on their body language and their description, you get a quick sense of whether or not they're doing well at their current company. You don't want somebody that's trying to really jump ship and rapidly get out of their job. let me do a quick recap. I would say number one is make hiring one of your very highest priorities. It should be, if not number one, it should be towards the very, very top. So that's number one. I would say number two, really take your time, go slow, resist the urge to urgently hire someone. There, you're always going to have that pull to try to get someone in quickly, because usually you have things that you need them to do. And that's why you're in the process of hiring. But really take your time and go slow. Know that it's not worth bringing the wrong person on, because it will take so much of your time. So go slow. That's number two. Number three is look for people that are humble, hungry, and people smart. You want the ideal team player, according to Patrick Lencioni and all of his great wisdom and experience. So really look for people that will take feedback, are self-motivated, and get along really well. They're going to put the needs of the team above their own. Number four, and we didn't talk a lot about this, is make sure you offboard the wrong people, because they are a cinder block. They are dead weight. They are going to scare away talented people. If you've got someone, you have to deal with it. You've got to sit down, give them a chance, give them some coaching, give them some feedback, whatever your process is, but make sure that you offboard them properly. Get, you know, have a lot of conversations. And if your judgment is telling you that this person should not be working on your team, then you need to take action and be decisive. And then the next one I would say is use behavioral interviewing questions. Don't kind of make up your own. There's lots of great studies on what great interview questions are. So these people have done wonderful research. That's another great tip. Don't delegate the hiring process, was something we talked about. And lastly, I would say make sure you read chapter one of Good to Great. Read the chapter on getting the right people on your bus. Because if you don't believe me, Jim Collins and his team of researchers, his research is extremely compelling, and it will help you really cement this idea of how important it is and how these companies really were methodical about the way they hired great people. And that's what took them to a new level and helped them get through a lot of economic crises and things like that.
And I love that in your blog, you talked about, you know, would you rehire some of these people if you were starting from ground zero? And that should be kind of an indicator of, do you have the right people on the bus? Do you have the right people in the right seats? And I think those are all crucial. And the one thing with having bad people on your bus is it doesn't just take time with them, but it really starts to slow your whole team, because they can affect morale. And then you have other people that are going, man, why is this person getting away with XYZ? That's crazy. Like, that shouldn't happen, you know? And then they start talking, and then you have this buzz going in the office of, well, you know, the supervisor doesn't even do anything about it. I can't believe this. So then it just kills productivity down the line. So not only do you have an unproductive employee that you're spending a ton of time with, but now the rest of the team is starting to be affected by that person's performance or lack thereof. So I love what you're talking about that. This is absolutely crucial, and it's near and dear to my heart, because I'm still very much learning this as I'm growing my business, and I have not perfected the hiring process. Like I said, at my old firm, I was 1 for 3, which in baseball would be a great batting average. But when you're a small business and your total staff is 5, you can't afford to fire 2 people a year that you hired. So definitely something I'm growing in, and I appreciate all this information. It's near and dear to what we're trying to do here at my firm as well.
Yeah. And we can point people towards further resources if they want more information on this. We've mentioned some of them already, but you don't have to go back and listen. We'll put it in the show notes, some of these really awesome hiring resources. We hope you guys got a lot out of it today, and that you will step up your hiring processes or step up your ability to be hired based on what you learned. And Clint, why don't you close us out?
Yeah. Hey guys, thanks for joining us again on the Next Peak podcast. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and share with a friend. We also love the reviews. That helps us with Apple, Google, or Spotify, whoever you listen through. And if you want more information or you want to connect with Parker, you can go to his website, which is leadyoufirst.com. And until next week, keep climbing your next peak.